What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rummy and Ray Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Raymond Summerlin, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by the very best in the business, Mr. Rumford Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on, Ray, man? Hey, man, another week in the books. How'd you do, man? Because I have to tell you, right now off the top, it's kind of an uneven week for me. It was going really well, and then kind of at the end. So I want to hear how you did, man.
I was in line to have a pretty okay week. It wasn't like I was going to make a ton of money, but I was going to do a little better than break even. And then Carson Palmer threw like those last five passes, and that killed me in so many of my head-to-heads. And it was just I lost this one person picked up like half my head-to-heads, and I was beating him the entire time. And then those passes put him over by like a point. He beat me by. So it was. You know, it was one of those things. I didn't do a good enough job with my head-to-heads in the way that I stacked them to make sure that I didn't get a lot of scooped by one person. And so that's on me. And I probably didn't have enough in 50-50s either. So that's also on me. And so I think a lot of, you know, I scored on my cash game lineup 149 points on FanDuel. If you score 149 points on FanDuel in a cash, you should probably do okay. And right. I didn't. And so that a lot of that comes down to this idea that make sure that you are setting up your games right. I didn't do well enough doing that last week, and it cost me. Not a lot. I mean, I still came close to breaking even, but it's one of those things where if I set up my cash games correctly, I probably should win money that week. Maybe not a lot because it was a high scoring week, but I should win money that week. And because I didn't set up my cash game lineups, I lost a little money that week. So that's just kind of a lesson for everybody of what you got to do.
Right. And you know what? It's interesting because, you know, just to let everybody know, Ray is basically playing mostly FanDuel. And I am, on the other side, playing mostly DraftKings. So it's a little different. Ray, you know, it's basically PPR on DraftKings and it's standard on.
Well, it's half. But half is kind of.
Half. So it's sort of in between. Yeah, exactly. But mostly leaning more toward the standard-ish. Line, if you will. So the point totals are a little different. So, you know, when Ray says, you know, the line is, you know, where he's scoring 140, right? That should cash.
140 should cash, and I scored 149, which
now, right,
that should cash
most,
for sure.
Most weeks you're looking at like 130, correct? 135.
Oh, yeah, my target is 130. And
exactly.
I feel like if I hit 130, I've got a pretty good chance to do pretty well.
Now, on DraftKings, if I'm hitting 160, I should be cashing. Now, this week I was hitting 170, and I still wasn't cashing.
Yeah, it was a crazy scoring week, and it's kind of one of those weeks. Yeah,
it's one of those weird weeks, and it happens. And literally, like, so far this year, I've had two bad weeks, really, essentially. Like, you know, of the entire football season, and the rest have all been really good and profitable, you know, and you know, some weeks better than others, but for the most part in the positive net for the most part. For me, you know, some of the guys like, you know, Freeman, you know, he did well, but he didn't do where he normally finishes, and that happens from time to time. Moncrief was sort of underwhelming a little bit.
That late touchdown for him was big because it would have been a
It would have been a complete like tank, but thank God for that. But there were some, you know, situations where, you know, you look at some of the chalk plays were just sort of underwhelming and that hurt. So I think that's kind of where, you know, we always take away everything week to week about how certain offenses perform. Kind of leads me to my little mini rant, Ray, about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, we had talked about this in the preseason where, you know, Chip Kelly's offense was going to be, in my opinion, a lot of wide receiver twos, meaning they're going to spread this football around the offense. And then it was going to be tough to depend on one target. And that's why I wasn't really a Jordan Matthews guy. And I was sort of, you know, a Nelson Agholor guy. Now, that since obviously has gone by the wayside.
Has not gone well. No.
Has not gone well. He's banged up. And listen, you know, that happens. We can go on a Breshad Perriman. We can go on.
And by the way, he was playing a lot of snaps too. So like
he was
on the path to actually being good.
At
and then
least,
the ankle.
At least he had that path. Yeah. Perryman and White never had the path because
neither
haven't been healthy.
Can I hot take you for a second?
Yeah, go
right I don't think either one plays this year. What a crazy year that's going to be. I don't think either one
right,
plays this year.
Which is nuts, but that's the thing. It's like sometimes we bank on young wide receiver talent to like have a role because of the outlier that we saw the previous year, you know, with Benjamin and other wide receivers that, you know, they had a role immediately and then developed into a steady role for the most part throughout the season. And it doesn't always happen. And that is a clear indication that, you know, this year is really proving to us that doesn't always happen. So we always have to kind of lean towards some veteran talent. And when we start to see patterns play out, we have to kind of move toward those patterns and, you know, pivot away from the younger talent that doesn't necessarily always work out. So Chip Kelly, essentially the Eagles offense, you know, Sam Bradford has not been very efficient. He's underwhelmed in the first half of most games. Second half has been more of a comeback player, but he's been really inefficient. Hasn't really relied on one target.
He's played badly. I agree with that. His wide receivers have not helped
bad.
Him
no,
whatsoever.
I know. They dropped a lot of passes, but the problem is too. And I heard, you know, and shout out to our buddy Rich Rebar, who I just heard on the on Sigmund Bloom's On the Coach, which is great. Go check it out, by the way. It's a great episode. Rich is kind of a little bit ahead of the curve on some of these things. And he's right. You know, when you have an offense where you're relying solely on a slot receiver as your number one, as your primary, in this case, Jordan Matthews, you cut off half of the field, essentially. You know, you basically make, you know, the defense, they don't have to respect the deep ball. They don't have to respect that part of the field. And it sort of diminishes some of the value of, you know, of the entire offense. You know, it cuts it in half in a way, or maybe in a, you know, a third of it off. And that makes it difficult for you to kind of pinpoint certain people every week, certain players every week that you can count on. And I think that's what the problem is with the Philadelphia Eagles offense, is that we don't have a definitive, you know, and then maybe that's Chip Kelly. That's by design, that he doesn't want to target one player. And that's getting a little too cute. You know, maybe thinking that my offense, my college Oregon offense hybrid, if you will, is going to translate at the NFL level. I think what's happening is that he is being found out by defenses. And they're realizing, we know what the options are. You know, listen, the people that all label Chip Kelly as a genius realize now that Chip Kelly has basically giving his quarterback and his wide receivers a series of checks. And it's not, they're not complicated. It's just that if you know where the checks are, then you can basically defend against those checks. And I think that's what's happening. And I think that's unfortunate, because it looked great year one. It's not looking so great now. And I think that's probably why it's easier to defend against their defense, against their offense, and try to find out what they're doing, implementing each week. And that's probably why the targets are differing each week, because that's the only way you can sort of be contrarian in that offense, is to sort of differentiate your targets, your checks. That's my issue, Ray. I think that's why this offense is really not sustainable, and maybe not, especially for fantasy purposes. I think it makes it harder to define one person. I know they've dropped footballs, and I get that, and I understand that. But I think that because you can basically figure this out over time, you understand where it's going to go to, where the checks and balances are, and it makes it harder for the offense to really operate within that very limited base.
See, I kind of disagree about it not working.
Okay.
I think that it's not being executed properly, but you can go down and you can see, especially with, you know, before Aguilar got hurt, there were a couple games there where the deep ball was working, which the deep pass is a very important part of this offense.
Of course,
And they really don't have anybody to do that. And then you also see, you know, Riley Cooper, they've been using in that role. Riley Cooper was hurt last week, so he wasn't really able to. And he's not very good, no, but he was able to get deep for a couple long passes, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row. And then Aguilar's hurt, and Aguilar would probably do well in that role, but, you know, he was banged up and he wasn't being particularly efficient even when he was healthy. And then you see Ryan Matthews come in, and Ryan Matthews is, you know, super efficient with his touches, running the same, you know, kind of system that Murray's
running. How many touches does he get in this?
Now that's a problem.
Okay,
and
there
that's
you go.
That's something I hope they fix. But again, that's an execution problem. It's not
right, and I agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the other thing,
that's the run game.
But the other thing I will say is that I think there's some fixes they can make to this offense. You know, there's not as much when I watch this offense. There's not as much where the traditional read option is the quarterback keeps the ball and runs over around the outside, and Sam Bradford's not even at the Kirk Cousins or Jay Cutler level where that even actually matters, which, by the way, Kirk Cousins and Jay Cutler keeps on read options are glorious, and they're natural and we should keep them forever. And by the way, they work. I mean, Jay Cutler, yeah. Andy Dalton, those guys, not even Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's more athletic than those guys, but those 20-yard gains that they get on those every now and again. Kirk Cousins had, I think, two of them against Tampa Bay last week. Those are important and matter. And Bradford doesn't do those. Nick Foles doesn't do those, and so they don't matter. But that doesn't mean you can't have that part of your game. All it means is you need to have a threat in the slot on a screen or something like that over to the option side. So maybe Bradford doesn't have to carry it around the outside, but you can have a screen pass set up out there where you either hand it off or you throw the screen depending on the coverage. If they're off, you can throw the screen. So, like, that's what I'm talking about, is there are fixes to this offense. I think that this offense isn't running discernibly worse than it was last year or the year before. I think the weapons are worse. I think the offensive line is worse.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think the execution is worse. I don't think it's an offense problem. I think it's a talent problem, which, by the way, is still on Chip Kelly
because
because he has all the power to, at this point, now that Howie Roseman's gone, he has all the power to do whatever he wants to in the offense. So it's still a Chip Kelly problem, but I don't know if it's a Chip Kelly, the coach problem, as much as it's a Chip Kelly, the GM problem, which is something that they'll have to analyze.
Yeah, those are all excellent points, and I totally agree with you. My concern is that, you know, how much rope does he get?
Well, he has to get a lot because, like, what does Chip Kelly care? You know, if they fire him, he will be the coach at USC.
I know, but I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, we have to tell the people that are listening to this podcast, we have to give them some advice because they've invested in Jordan Matthews. They've made some investments into Marco Murray and maybe some in Ryan Matthews and perhaps Sam Bradford. So I think, you know, we have to look at the obvious is that, you know, I think in this offense, particularly Ryan Matthews, and we've all kind of seen this anyway, is more efficient with his carries.
Don't tell Carl Safchick that.
Well, he is. And I love you. Carl, you're my boy, but you're wrong.
He's throwing shade at me.
Ryan Matthews is way more efficient with his carries. And that has to be
also
obvious.
Also love you too, Carl, by the way.
Yeah. It has to be obvious to Chip Kelly at some point. Now, if you have an investment like I have in a couple of leagues of you know, Ryan Matthews as my you know, running back 3 or 4 in some leagues, you're holding on to him because at some point somebody has to take notice and realize this guy has to be fed, regardless of what the investment was to DeMarco Murray. Now, if this was a Bill Belichick offense, I think clearly that Ryan Matthews would be the lead dog. And I think that once you realize somebody is more efficient and more, you know, doing more with their opportunity, then you have to give them a solid workload. And I think that's what has to happen eventually. But as far as the passing game is concerned, it starts and ends with, again, the offensive line that you just talked about, Ray, and Sam Bradford. I mean, if there's pressure, he's terrible. He's not somebody that deals with pressure well. He's not mobile.
He had a throw 2 weeks ago under pressure, and he kind of escaped it, and you went, oh, he just escaped pressure. And then he short-hopped it, but he didn't just short-hop it to Jordan Matthews wide open down the field. It was 15 yards in front of him. Like, yeah. he buried it into the ground. And it was one of those things I just kind of threw up my hands and said, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, that is bad. And like that, I know that he's made other good throws and he's done other bad placements, but you just watch that and the play like that just sticks in your mind. That's just a bad, bad throw. And he's an NFL quarterback, but
yeah, and
maybe he'll figure it out.
We all wanted to invest in this offense because it was a high volume, high repetition offense, and it's an inefficient offense from that standpoint. So that's unfortunate because with the volume that we expect, we want to see some efficiency because, you know, the more darts you throw, you know, the more targets you hit. And unfortunately, that's not the case. So it's tough. I'd say, you know, hold with the running backs. I still think that's still a big part of the offense.
I'm holding Jordan Matthews, by the way. I'm still holding him.
Yeah, getting
the targets.
I am too.
Might have a hand injury, so maybe that's why he has cinder blocks for hands at this point. But
yeah, and that's true as well. And I like Jordan Matthews. I've always said he's a better version of Brandon Cooks. He's a bigger, stronger version of Brandon Cooks. And that's just the fact. He's a wide receiver too, but he's a great wide receiver too. And a potentially, you know, a wide receiver too that can catch 100 passes. So isn't he
TJ Houshmandzadeh? Isn't that who he is?
Yeah, kind of.
And that's, you know, fine, because TJ Houshmandzadeh had a wide receiver 1 year.
Exactly.
In a good offense. He could do that.
Yeah, he's Roddy White. I mean, who gives a shit? That's who he is in his prime. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, if the end result is that he's still, you know, efficient and still gives you a wide receiver 1 year, you know, at the end. But the problem is that most people paid wide receiver one prices for Jordan Matthews. And that's the problem. And if he doesn't come in at that level of at least at the bottom part of the wide receiver one tier, then you overpaid for him, you know. But that's the story for another day. So let's move on to the matchups, Ray. I'm done with my rant on Chip Kelly and that offense. Hopefully it gets corrected. It's in a very, very – it's in a division where they should be efficient. They should be able to capitalize. And they usually are in the second half of games, but we should see, you know, four quarters of efficiency from this offense, and hopefully that gets corrected. So let's move on, man.
All right, let's talk about some teams that are actually playing this week. Moving the first one, Miami at New England, a game that you might be interested in. Are you kind of interested in this game?
Just a little bit, you know.
So New England's 8-point home favorites. Some places it's 8.5, and some it's 7.5. And so I guess this is kind of 8. The total is 51, highest total of the week. 70% of the money's on New England, according to Sports Insights.
You're on Miami then.
Has New England covered in the last 2 weeks? fun fact. Anyway, I think that line probably even goes more towards New England. So
if
I'm probably not taking it at 7.5, or but it's already at 8.5 at sportsbook.com, which is a place I use. And so I think it's going that way. So if it gets up into the 9 range, I might have to take some Miami. New England's 29.5, their team total. Miami's 21.5. So I guess the question now moving forward about New England is, what type of game are we going to see? Are we going to see the 50 attempt game from Tom Brady, which we've seen 3 times this year, or around 3 times? I think there was 148 in there. Or are we going to see more of a subdued passing game and the running game? So what do you expect to kind of see this week?
I think we see a lot of heavy volume from Tom Brady. I think they challenge in the passing game. I think they're pretty fearless. It's a short week. I know Miami's riding high, and I know these are the things that when I say these sort of things, Ray, people cringe when you talk about, you know, your big toe throbbing and that you have a feeling about things. People hate that in the Metrics community because it's not quantifiable. But for me, I just feel in a short week, Miami playing off of a high, you know, with a new coach, they're feeling really salty. They're coming into New England. I think they're getting the ass handed to them. And that's how I feel. I feel like that's just going to be the case. I think there's some garbage time opportunities for Miami. I like Landry. I think Landry does enough, you know, in the return game. And because he's elusive, I think he's, you know, 6,200 on DraftKings. By the way, again, as I touched on the early part of the podcast, Ray is mostly giving you FanDuel prices. I'm going to be giving you DraftKings prices. So people don't know that that listen to this podcast. That's kind of where we're coming from. So when I give you my pricing, it's mostly DraftKings. Ray's giving you FanDuel. So for me, you know, Landry at 6,200, I think he's still a pretty good value. I think he's going to have some garbage time production. I think he's going to be able to score and find the end zone in this one, because they always play, New England always plays bend, don't break, and there's an opportunity here at the end of the game. I think if New England has a lead for Miami to sort of, you know, try to make it a little bit of a closer game. So maybe they cover, Ray. So there you go. I know you always love to see these gigantic spreads where you obviously can capitalize, and I think there's an opportunity there, obviously, that Miami can make it a little bit closer and sort of beat the spread. So I don't love Ryan Tannehill in this matchup. I feel like the New England defense at home is going to be amped up. You know, there's an opportunity for them to sort of come, you know, at home against a division rival after this last game, tough matchup, you know, against the Jets. And this is, to me, you know, Miami's going to have a chip on their shoulder, and I think that New England's going to be a little nasty in this one at home, and they're going to be able to tee off on Tannehill. So, I don't love Tannehill in this matchup. I also don't like Lamar Miller. I know that pisses people off, but I don't chase points. I don't chase points. Lamar Miller had a good matchup. He had a really good matchup. They fed him. I think he'll be fed. I think he'll be fine. But let me tell you this. If we're talking DFS, I'm okay with him in GPPs. I'm fine with him in GPPs. In cash, I'm moving away from him in cash, because I think that there's an opportunity here for New England Patriots defense, now that Hightower is back in the fold, for them to really shut down Miller, or at least make him, you know, be possibly just barely at his return on investment for his pricing. His pricing is good, Ray. So I will say this, if you have him in your lineup, I'm okay with him, but I think that's also chasing points. I think if you're expecting a return on investment that you saw last week, I think you're going to be disappointed this week.
See, and you're gonna
fucking disagree with me.
I don't disagree with Lamar Miller because I'm not gonna use a running back who's an 8-9 point underdog on the road. I'm just never gonna. Will never use that running back.
All right, man.
But I do kind of disagree about Tannehill, only because for some reason they've been able to protect him the last 2 weeks. Now, one of those weeks, it was against Houston. Yeah, I know. Hold on. One of those weeks, it was against Houston, and Houston can't rush the passer. But they did a really good job against Tennessee, which, again, keeps getting people. We saw what they did to Atlanta last week. Just throwing that out there. And so I think there is some kind of love on Tannehill. The problem is you're not using him in cash. You wouldn't use him in cash.
No.
And it's Thursday night, and so he's going to be probably pretty high owned. So it's one of those situations where I'm not going to touch him. I don't hate him as a GPP play. If it was a Sunday game, I'd probably use him. But Thursday night, I'm not going to use him. I guess if there's anybody, because this is a Thursday night game, if there's anybody in a GPP you're going to use, I was thinking actually Deion Lewis, because maybe coming off this injury, we don't know if he's going to play, but if he does play coming off this injury, people aren't going to be so high on him. The Dolphins have given up 6 catches a game to running backs the last two. Their running defense has actually been good. The last 2 weeks, it's 3.1 yards per carry against. So, and that was part of that was Arian Foster. So we're talking about a run defense that's playing more up to what it should be. And then we have a run defense that gives up passes to running backs. I think that this could be a Deion Lewis game. I think this could be a Tom Brady throws 45 plus time games. And by the way, if he's going to do that, then Gronk's going to see 10 plus targets. And if Gronk sees 10 plus targets, then you put him in your lineup. So that's kind of how I see this game going. Are you any love for Amendola?
Yeah. I mean, 3,600. I mean, I think LaFell, I mean, the drop percentage. I mean,
he dropped six of eight.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's just brutal. And listen, I think that, you know, Belichick, in terms of the, it's unlike the ball security for the running backs, I think Belichick is a little bit more lenient when it comes to wide receivers. But I will say this. Listen, I will say this. Amendola didn't drop shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the only one.
He was a game saver. I mean, Edelman dropped passes too. So I think there's an opportunity just at his price point, you know, because you know, LaFell is priced so much higher. I think that Amendola, his price point obviously is somebody that you could use. And I think he'll have more. I think he'll probably have, if he doesn't have more snaps, he'll have at least equal snaps to LaFell in this matchup, and I think it's a good matchup for him because I think he's obviously going to draw the lesser coverage in this matchup. So we'll probably see Grimes on Edelman, which I think, by the way, is not a shutdown opportunity, you know, situation by any means. I think that Edelman can certainly beat. I think over time he's proven that he can get over on Grimes, and he's had decent games. But if Edelman's out on the field for you know, X amount of snaps, I think that does prove an opportunity for him to have another week. And it's not chasing points with him. I think he's proven that, you know, in the last couple of weeks that he's been pretty efficient when called upon. So I do think he'll have an opportunity this week. I think given the fact that LaFell has been, you know, his first time out was really bad, and that maybe they give him an opportunity. But if his, you know, he's out there and he's inefficient when early on, then there's probably a lot of Amendola. I know it's hard for people to want to bet on New England pass catchers, running backs, whatever, outside of the top three. And of course, we mean Brady, Gronk, and Edelman. I still think there's an opportunity for somebody like Amendola, who's really come on really well, and he's been healthy. He's you know, he's been a really consistent part of the passing game. I think it's an opportunity at his price. If you want to use him as a flex play, I'm happy to use him as a flex play.
But you at his price on DraftKings for sure, but on FanDuel the pricing's not so good. And FanDuel, yeah, yeah. Let's hear it. So on FanDuel he represents. So just because I like to compare these, so DraftKings has $10,000 less of their salary, so it's a $50,000 salary instead of a $60,000 salary. And FanDuel, FanDuel doesn't play more players, but so it's a little weird, especially because, you know, FanDuel has the kickers, which it's so the pricing's a little weird. But I always like to look at the differences. So he's $3,600 on DraftKings, which is 7.2% of the salary. He's $5,800 on FanDuel,
which is
9.7% of the salary. So he's a full 2.5% higher of your salary. Julian Edelman, by the way, is actually cheaper on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. So on the site with the larger salary cap, he is actually cheaper. And so there's a lot of value on Julian Edelman this week on FanDuel. He's all the way down to wide receiver 17. Yeah. There's a ton of value on him at FanDuel. He's almost a full 4% cheaper in terms of salary than he is on DraftKings. So I would say it depends on your site.
He's much, much higher on DraftKings.
He's 8,100. Yeah. And so,
yeah, yeah.
So it depends on the site. Like you said, on DraftKings, Amendola is a value. I agree with you there. On FanDuel, I think Edelman's a value, especially since he's all the way down at wide receiver 17. So it's kind of one of those things. You just kind of have to pay attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say if you want to pay up for Brady and Gronk, that's fine. My only issue is that it's a short week.
Yeah.
And there's some degree of difficulty there in a short week. I think it's a good game. I think New England wins this game. I think they win this game fairly handily. But there's also, you know, that opportunity there for other targets to, you know, take that opportunity to sort of, you know, because Brady's not afraid to look at his first, second, third read and find somebody else in the passing game. And there's an opportunity on a short week for, depending on how they dictate coverage, for somebody else to sort of come out. And again, Amendola could be that. I mean, you talked about Deion Lewis. I mean, if he's healthy and he's a go, he could be, you know, one of the primary guys. And his numbers on DraftKings, I mean, he's still in that. What is he priced on FanDuel right now?
On FanDuel, he is 7,000.
Okay, 6,400 on DraftKings.
He's a little bit more expensive in terms of percentage salary on DraftKings, but that makes sense because it's a PPR
league.
So he's going to have more value there. And, by the way, LeGarrette Blount 4,700. I'm not using him because I do think that this is, I do like this front. I think that this front four, this front whole front seven is playing like they probably should have been playing the whole season now that they don't hate their defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But they are, I mean, that they are, that is a lot of disrespect thrown LeGarrette Blount's way. I guess he deserves it after getting what, -3 yards last week.
Yeah.
But it's, DraftKings is really, really got
his price
down.
Yeah, and they just didn't use him really in the past. And but listen, but that's fine. That's they approached that game the right way. But I'm with you. I think this is another opportunity for, you know, somebody like Lewis to sort of come out of nowhere because people are kind of down on him because of the injury, and for him to sort of sneak back into to good favor. So, but I do think this is a passing game week where Brady sort of, you know, looks outside the 20s and operates in that fashion. So, but I'm not chasing that. I'm, you know, there's much more value to me than Brady and Gronk at their pricing right now, especially on DraftKings. I can't look to FanDuel, but for DraftKings alone, they're really at the top of their tiers. And for me on a Thursday night, I think they win. I think they win with you know, a decent amount of, you know, points in their favor, but fantasy wise, I think it's, you know, it's spread out a little bit. So I kind of avoid that, and I'm, you know, fading that that tandem basically, or at least that stack anyway.
So the next game we have is San Diego at Baltimore. Baltimore's 3-point home favorites. The total's 50. This game is pretty much spread 50% each way. Public's, you know, 50% taking San Diego, 50% Baltimore. Not much happening there. I'd be surprised if it moves off that number. Baltimore's 26.5 is their team total. San Diego's 23.5. This is an interesting game because both of these teams are really high-paced teams. So each of these teams in the top six and players run per game. And so that, you know, this is going to be a high-paced game. It's probably going to be a high-scoring game. And, you know, there's probably going to be some value here because when you think about the Ravens and the Chargers, I guess when you look at that game, maybe the Chargers because of what Phil Rivers has been doing, you don't think high scoring and high pace. So it's going to be one of those interesting games. So I guess the question is, I mean, Rivers, we'll get to him in a second, but is there any love for Joe Flacco here in this matchup against San Diego?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, listen, here's my feeling about, first of all, let me throw this out, Ray, and you tell me if I'm crazy or not. I think this over-under is too high.
I see. I don't. And the reason I don't think it's too high is it's like what I said about the pace. I mean, it's not going to be like when, you know, Philadelphia goes and plays Washington. And the, you know, Philadelphia wants to have that pace, but Washington, you know, has been pretty good at, They've run a lot of plays, Washington has, but they've run a lot of plays because they've done a pretty good job, or we're doing a pretty good job of maintaining time of possession. I don't think either of these teams is like that. I think both of these teams are going to be more of a higher pace kind of game, and that leads to more points if you have more plays generally.
Okay.
So that's how I feel, but maybe it's a point or two high, but it being the second highest total, I don't think I have a problem with that.
Okay. I disagree.
Well, that's fine. That's what we're supposed to do.
All right, here's it exactly. That's why our podcast is fucking the best, you motherfuckers.
So angry tonight.
All agreeing with each other and patting each other on the back, so, you motherfuckers.
So angry. I don't even understand.
So good. Dude, fuck you. anyway, but no, listen, we have to disagree a little bit. You know, we have to be that way. We have to challenge each other. We always do. That's why I love the chemistry we have on this podcast. But listen, we won't get into that too much right now. I will say this. I think that San Diego traveling to the East Coast.
I know the point you're making, it's going to be a good one. It's a good
one. 1 o'clock game. And on top of that, let's remember this, kids. They're in the clock back. We get an hour or two. We're turning the clocks back. It's a little fucked up.
Hold on. That's this week?
Yes.
Oh, no. We're turning the clocks back and we have an early Sunday game?
Exactly. So they're going to be all completely fucked up.
The night after Halloween, that's what we chose to do this?
Exactly.
Someone. So, I will be writing a letter to my senator.
2 a.m. 2 a.m. in the morning, I believe, on Sunday. So, I always hate having West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast at an early game. I think that's a bad precedent. I think this is a situation where the San Diego Chargers could be very, very sloppy. in Baltimore. Listen, Baltimore, they're look at their record. They suck. They have to win this fucking game. Okay? I mean, they really have to. They have to bust ass to win this game and to keep their playoff hopes alive. I mean, you look at the AFC, it's a mess. It's a bleeping mess. I don't know why I said bleeping, because I've been swearing like a truck driver anyway. It's a fucking mess. Look at it. I mean, it's literally – the Baltimore is still in the running, dude, and they're horrible. They're still in the playoff picture, and they're garbage. So if they're going to have any hope at all, they have to win this game. So for me, I think with San Diego traveling, this scenario – It plays for them to be really inefficient. They sucked last week. Let's be honest. San Diego wasn't great until the second half. The first half, they were horrible, okay? And they were on the West Coast. And obviously, they're traveling the East Coast. It's the whole time change thing. I think they're going to be inefficient. I will say I love Ladarius Green still. I think Gates is probably out for this game. Green's only gone up by 100 bucks basically on DraftKings. He was 2,900 last week, right? Okay, now he's 3,000. So I don't know who the fuck's doing the prices. I'm swearing a lot in this podcast. Well, fuck you if you don't like it. Don't listen. Go listen to somebody else who does it. Some Disney podcast where they don't swear.
I just clicked the explicit tab. I remembered to go through and do it.
I don't care. Whatever. Ladarius Green's only $100 more than he was. He returned his value last week. Easily returned his value. He's going to return it again this week. I think there's a possibility that Baltimore actually has a lead in this game and that Green's going to be very efficient in the red zone. And I love him this week at his price point. So keep rolling with Ladarius Green. I know people freak out because Ladarius Green, Antonio Gates, and all that. Gates is probably going to be out of this game. Or if he is in this game, he's going to be inefficient in this game. He's just not healthy yet with an MCL sprain. He's going to probably be held out of this one again. I love Green. If you want to play Keenan Allen, I think he's going to have the targets. That's fine. Rivers, same thing. I'm just not touching them in cash. Okay. I think that you're fine with them if you want to play them in GPPs in cash. I just don't trust them in this game. I think there's an opportunity for them to sort of not really meet value. And even though they're really, even Rivers, who hasn't been really priced where he should be in terms of the amount of passing attempts that he's made. But Keenan Allen has been. He's still in that top tier. So there's an opportunity for him to sort of not meet that value. So I'm not really super excited about them. Let me hear about Baltimore. I want to hear why you're excited about Baltimore in this matchup. And please tell me I'm right about this one. Come on, Ray.
I am not excited about Baltimore's pass game.
Oh, come on.
Hold on, though. I'm not excited about the pass game simply because I think a lot of people – I don't know about a lot of people, but I think some of the sharp people are definitely going to be on it. They'll be on Flacco, especially this week with a high total.
Smith, right?
It's Flacco and Smith. And I'm really fine with Smith at FanDuel. Smith is 6,700. He's wide receiver 25. I will have – when I say I'm not happy with the pass game, I will have Steve Smith and some GPPs.
But you like Forsett, right?
I love Forsett. I love Forsett this week. Forsett has been a running back one the last 4 weeks. He has been exceptional. The offensive line has finally started working. San Diego is terrible. You can make an argument that San Diego is the worst run defense in the league. They've been the eighth worst against fantasy backs the last 3 weeks. They've given up 43 receptions this year against. Forsett has had double-digit fantasy points each of the last four games, at least three catches in each of the last three. He's only running back 13, 6,900 on FanDuel. I will have Justin Forsett in my cash lineup, and I don't think there's a question about it. At home, 3-point favorite in a great matchup. Give me all the Justin Forsett in cash. And then what I'd say about Flacco, I know people will be on Flacco. I had a conversation with TJ Hernandez, friend of the podcast, on Twitter about Flacco, and I know he's on him. I know Matt Harmon over at NFL.com is on him as well. What I would say about Flacco is I don't see the ceiling. He hasn't had – you know, he doesn't have three touchdown passing games. If you go back and look at it, he has three passing touchdowns in a game four times in the last three seasons, including the playoffs. So he had a four touchdown game in the playoffs last year. And so that's even including that game. So when you're talking about him having three touchdowns, it doesn't happen. He's had some quarterback one weeks, but it's always been a couple weeks ago is because he had two random fluky rushing touchdowns, which that's not happening again. You know, so I think if you're putting him in GPP lineups and you're really expecting him to blow up, I think you're looking for a rushing touchdown. I think you're looking for three touchdowns, which doesn't happen very often for him. Or I think you're looking for like 350 yards. And I don't know if any of those are particularly likely. So I could very well be wrong about that, but he's a guy I'm definitely not touching.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm with you on Forsett. I think he's maybe on DraftKings, 6,100 on DraftKings. You know, he's sort of
He's 60. So, wow, he's actually, I guess that means he's actually cheaper as a percentage. No, yeah, it's not. It's pretty close. He's about 12% on each one. So, yeah, okay. So that's pretty close.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, obviously, you know, we want to see him involved in the passing game, and I think he will be. Against San Diego. So yeah, I like him a lot. He's in play for me this week and certainly in cash and maybe even in GPPs too. So, but yeah, I like him a lot too. I agree with you. I mean, I tend to just see better value elsewhere at quarterback, you know, wide receiver stacks elsewhere, you know, especially in cash. But, you know, Flacco, I mean, that ceiling, he's really, he's less than a crawl space player.
Yeah,
you know,
bad.
He, you know, and to our listeners,
it's Teddy Bridgewater level.
Yeah,
crawl space.
To our listeners, crawl space player is when the ceiling and the floor are very close together, which gives you a crawl space.
Always remember Harry Potter.
There you go.
He's living
right?
in Harry Potter's nook.
Under the stairs, man, and that's basically what it is. I mean, that's what he for years. You know, for years we talked about this before. Joe Flacco had that outlier year. He was really like a 3,500, you know, yard passing quarterback. You know, it was a very safe situation for him. You know, they never gave him more than he needed, and they always had a good running game. And most recently, it just sort of. It's been a little different, but obviously, you know, now with Forsett being efficient, they've been able to kind of still give him, you know, that sort of offense where he doesn't have to do a ton and just sort of be intermediate. I do like Gilmore. I think Gilmore's a decent play still. I think that San Diego, you know, intermediately can give up some plays. So I think Gilmore's still really cheap. He's at almost... I don't know what he's priced at FanDuel, but he's basically minimum still on DraftKings at 2,500. So I think if you play him, you're still okay. You're going to meet that value. So, you know, it's not a high ceiling, but his floor is super safe. So if you want to really spend at other positions, I think you could plug him in. If you don't want to pay up at tight end, I think you could certainly get some return on Gilmore.
On the other side, you know, I know you talked about, I think you made a lot of good points about Rivers. And the other point I would make about Rivers is that this is all too easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to say Rivers against Baltimore. Hey, done.
Yeah, I know.
That means that everybody else knows that it's too easy too. And so that might be a reason to stay away in GPP. So that would be the one thing I'd say. And then the other, here's my contrarian. You ready for the contrarian?
Yep.
I think I kind of like Melvin Gordon a little bit this week.
Uh-oh.
I know. Simply because this is, you know, it's all tournament play because we have no idea what his usage is going to be. He was benched 2 weeks ago. He looks like he was benched in the first half last week. So we have no idea what his usage is going to be. He did get 7 carries in the second half. And this, I think Melvin Gordon's going to be the kind of guy that does really well against 3-4 fronts. Because they don't stuff. Baltimore has the third worst stuff rate. So the third worst stuff rate that's tackling people at or behind the line of scrimmage in the league because they allow their linebackers in their scheme are really tasked with the running game, not the front line.
Yeah.
And so that means now their linebackers are really good at it. but that means that you're allowing Melvin Gordon to get past the line of scrimmage, which is his problem. So he's the kind of running back where it's either going to be 0 yards or 11 yards.
Yep.
And you're almost gifting him not the 0 yards in this scheme, which means that it's a really good situation for him. Now, maybe this, you know, I'm going to have to really think about this because he hasn't had a touchdown this year. They are on the road, and you made the points about it being the early, early game. So maybe there's a bad situation for him here. But it's something I'm going to think about at least because I do think that this is the kind of game. And moving forward, this may even just be for the future. Moving forward, this is the kind of defense that Melvin Gordon should do well against.
Yeah.
And no, so that's kind of my thought.
No, I agree with you. And I will say this, to counter that, and it's very, very close, Woodhead, who's only 500 more than Gordon.
On DraftKings?
On DraftKings.
Yeah.
Is equally proficient against, 3-4.
He's actually $100 cheaper on FanDuel. So maybe that's the play. But I do think people are going to be on Woodhead after all that
probably
garbage time last week.
Probably. But I think there's opportunity there for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think that setup, like as you just described, I think we saw how Baltimore isn't this great, run stuffing team that people think they are. They certainly could be exposed. And I think Woodhead is somebody that can expose them. So it'll be interesting to see the ownership numbers in this game, to see how, the Thursday FanDuel numbers, to see how they're owned, because I think that will kind of tilt me a little bit one way or another, to see who's more highly owned. That's probably going to be making me think a little bit more highly on one or the other. So certainly interesting, those two, they're very, very closely, priced. So especially in DraftKings, I think they're interesting. Like you said, on FanDuel, one's cheaper than the other dramatically. So we'll see.
All right. So the next game we have is the Giants at the Saints, New Orleans 3-point home favorites. I love seeing all these home favorites. It makes my heart warm. 40, that could be the whiskey. 49.5 is the total, third highest total. This is basically a 50-50 game. 57% of the public money's on New Orleans, so not much there. New Orleans 26.25 is their team total. New York Giants 23.25. So this is, this is a game that I probably will be fading on the New Orleans side, and I think that maybe there are going to be people that like New Orleans a little bit more than I do, except in one specific situation, and we'll get to that in a second. But what I'd say about the Giants is they've given up just one passing touchdown in 5 of their games this season. Drew Brees has thrown for 1 touchdown in 4 of his 6 games this season. People are still treating Brees like the quarterback 1, and the pricing's, it's getting better, but it's still kind of reflecting that a little bit. He's still quarterback 10. I don't see the ceiling here for Drew Brees. And with his weapons, and I'm going to use quotes to describe that because I do love Willie Snead, but Willie Snead's a wide receiver 3 on a team with good weapons. This is a situation I think I'm avoiding the entire passing game. Even in this kind of, you look at it and you think, oh, the Giants, they don't have safeties. But I think I'm avoiding the passing game. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I will say this, that I as much as I kind of, it's not really chasing points because it's 2 weeks removed now, but I think Ben Watson still has enough of an involvement in the passing game in this matchup against the Giants. That was
my one, yeah.
Yeah, who've been bad against tight ends. I think this is at home. I think this is an opportunity for Watson to sort of, again, to have maybe not like that breakout game, obviously, that he had with 10 catches and just absolutely blew up. By the way, that was the week that I, a couple of weeks ago where I really did really well on DraftKings that week and at one of the tournaments with Watson as my tight end in that Monday, Thursday slate.
And here's another thing about Watson. You had that big game 2 weeks ago and you think, oh, well, he kind of came back to earth last week. He was tackled at the 1 twice last week.
Yeah.
So he was 2 yards away from having another huge game. He has at least 5 targets in the last three.
He's being targeted enough, and I know that.
And he was a first round pick, right? Wasn't he a first round pick of the Patriots, or he was an early pick
a long time ago?
But I'm just saying, it's not like he doesn't have any talent.
He has the pedigree. He's very athletic. He's an older player, but I mean, obviously, there was so much hype on Josh Hill, and just the targets for Josh Hill are almost Ladarius Green when a healthy Antonio Gates is in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? Like with Josh Hill, it's like, you know, people getting excited about, you know what I'm saying? Like, people getting excited about Josh Hill are like people who get excited about Ladarius Green when a healthy Gates is in the lineup. It's like, why bother? It's like, it feels like that. It's like almost like Ben Watson is sort of the primary one, and this guy is sort of like, okay, if I don't have a good read, and he's my third or fourth option. And that's kind of how it is with Hill. So I don't worry too much because this is the targets. Like you said, the targets are there for Watson. He's really on, you know, basically on DraftKings, he's like $1,000 above bare minimum on DraftKings. So, you know, if you fade, you know, tight end and you really want to pay cheap, I think it's a great matchup. I mean, so they're the worst team against tight ends, basically, Giants in the league. So you could certainly plug him in GPPs. And I don't think it's a bad play in cash, to be honest with you, because, you know, what's he going to do to return, you know, his investment, essentially? He has to give you what? You know, he's going to give you what, 11, 12 points?
On FanDuel, he has to give you 11. Yeah, 11. If he gives you 11 on FanDuel.
DraftKings, he gives you 12 points. I mean, I think he can return that. You know, he's already done that already now twice. So I don't have any issue with that. I mean, I think you can plug him in, and I think you could certainly pay up another position. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's the one play that I like. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's kind of sketchy with everybody else. I think I worry about Cooks. I worry about Snead. I think people are so kind of still on them that there are other contrarian plays in that frame, that same framework of pricing that you can still target and still have a much better upside. I'm with you. I'm with you on Watson.
I'm a little bit on Mark Ingram this week simply because, you know, the Giants run defense has fallen apart the last 3 weeks. The one thing I would say is he's 8,000 on FanDuel. So he has to return a lot of value. You're always worried about Kyrie Robinson stealing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a pain in the ass.
Oh, he's so annoying. So I think he's a very safe play at home. I don't know if he'll be in any of my cash lineups, because I think there are better options. For instance, on FanDuel, I believe Todd Gurley is $100 more against the 49ers. So I'm, you know, if I'm looking at a cash game, I'll pay the extra $100 for Todd Gurley over Mark Ingram. But I do think he's a safe play. So I think there are worse ways to go in cash. As for the Giants, I'm in on the Giants this week, I think. At least on the passing game.
I think.
Yeah. It's one of those things because Eli has been very underwhelming the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And Odell Beckham's been very underwhelming as well. And I actually think that's why I'm on them, because this is a great matchup. You know, this is as good a matchup for the Giants as Baltimore is for the Chargers. But I think there will be a lot fewer people on the New York Giants than there will be on the Chargers. And that makes it interesting. Eli Manning is really cheap. Eli Manning's all the way down to quarterback 17 on FanDuel. Odell Beckham's still highly priced. He's still wide receiver 3, but you can get both of those guys, you know, together with Eli's low price, Odell's high price, and you actually have a pretty decent stack there for a pretty cheap price in a great matchup in a game that has a high total inside. So all those things together, I like Eli and Odell, and I'll have them as at least one of my GPP lineups this week.
I like it, man.
And then my only note I have for the running backs in New York is, who the fuck knows?
Exactly.
Because, like,
and everybody else, I mean, every other wide receiver and the tight ends, who cares?
Yeah, Reuben Randall, ugh. Terrible.
Let's move on, man.
All right, next game, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta's 7-point home favorites. Love these home favorites. Game totals 48.5. 71% of the money's on Atlanta. It's still holding at 7. I doubt they come off this number. You know, it's one of those games where Vegas is going to need people to take Tampa Bay. And, you know, maybe the number moves. But if it comes off, if it goes off a 7, 7's a key number. You know, lots of games finish there. If it goes off a 7, it's going to go up to 9. Because in between, you know, 7 and 10 doesn't really matter. So it's going to go up high if it starts to move off that number. Atlanta's 27.75. That's their team total. Tampa Bay 20.75. That's theirs. So this is kind of an interesting game for Atlanta. Matt Ryan hasn't been very good lately. Julio Jones, he had a lot of targets last week, but you know they scored 10 points against Tennessee, which we talked about that defense is a lot better than people think, especially against the pass. So what are you thinking here for Matt Ryan?
I'm pretty much fading Matt Ryan. I just think there's just so much more value at the quarterback position in terms of pricing. I mean, just where he is at 7,100 on DraftKings. There's just so many other quarterbacks that I'd really rather have at that price point. Because he's not supporting multiple targets. I mean, if he's supporting somebody else, it's supporting Freeman in the short passing game. You know, it's not like this big voluminous, 400, 500 yard games, like these big, huge passing games where
he doesn't have a 3-touchdown game yet this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's not this big passer. You know, it's just the volume isn't there. It's just sort of the dink and dunk. And for him to be at 7,100 is absurd when you think, especially on DraftKings, Ray, when you talk about guys like Palmer and Rivers who've been, part of these big passing games, who've been priced under him pretty much all season. It's kind of crazy. And I always kind of fade him, and I just don't, I don't touch him. Julio at 9,200. I just don't think he's healthy. I love Julio. I think he's going to have one of those games again, where he just is an unbelievable return. I just don't know if it's this week. I mean, I know it's a great matchup. I just don't know that he's healthy, and I can't keep banking on putting my, he's at 9,200 still on DraftKings. I mean, I just don't.
It's the same price on FanDuel, too.
How do you make that investment when you know that your return is going to be, you're probably going to get a negative return? And I can't do that. Like off the top, when I look at the number, on DraftKings, you think about it, you have to get, he has to return essentially, like 28 points.
He needs to be a 30-point player for you.
Pretty much. Yeah. And he's not doing that right now. He's not healthy. So I can't do that. I just can't make that play, and I haven't for several weeks. I know there are people who are as smart or smarter than me who say that it's going to happen and you have to make that play. I just don't make that play. Freeman, I'm okay with because of his volume in the passing game. He's at 8,000 now. He's actually ticked down a little bit on DraftKings. He was a little bit higher. He's come back down again because he had sort of a disappointing week in terms of return on investment, because I think he had 18 points last week, which is for the most part for your running back is great.
And he just didn't get in the end zone. That was the only thing.
Right.
It was still a great week, just not
right.
In the end zone.
If he had scored a touchdown, then of course he returns his investment. But he had been basically for like the 3 weeks prior, been at a level of like 30 points essentially on average. And to give you 18 is like, whoa, boy, what a bummer. I think this week in that matchup, I think he returns that for you. I mean, you're basically waiting for 24 points from him this week. I think he surpasses that, and or at least matches that. And I think he does that for you, especially in cash. So I like him this week. Outside of that, I mean, nobody else is really healthy. Hankerson is dinged up, Tammy. I mean, what else are you banking on, really? So as far as Atlanta's concerned, that's really it. So I'm on Freeman, and I'm kind of pivoting away from Julio and Ryan. So what do you like about Tampa Bay?
What I would say, well, back on Atlanta for just a second, what I would say about Freeman is this is, Bucks have actually been surprisingly good against the run this year.
Yeah, but
it's all the front. Front seven. If you get somebody, you can watch the games, you can look at Football Outsiders stats. If you get into the second level against Tampa Bay, you do a ton of damage. And that's what this offense is built to do. Yep. And so I think Freeman has a really big day, actually. I like him. I like him a lot. It is tough. I won't have him in any cash games because he is $9,100. And like I said, I will have my cash game running backs at FanDuel. You only have two running backs, will be Todd Gurley and Justin Forsett. So,
okay.
So I'm not going to have room for him, but I will have him in some GPPs. And I hope that last week's quote unquote disappointing performance and his price keep him low owned. So I agree completely with that.
Let me stop you one second, because I just want to let our listeners know, on DraftKings you can do Gurley and Freeman because of the softer pricing on at wide receiver. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean there are options there, but in my situation I think that's where I'll go. But and I agree with you about the pass game. You know, the upside play could be like you said, you gave out all the reasons on Julio, but with those guys hurt, he might just get 20 targets, which actually brings me to who I like on the other side, Mike Evans. How many targets is Mike Evans going to get this week? 100? Is he going to have a DeAndre Hopkins game? I think he will. There's nobody else there. Vincent Jackson's not going to play. Lewis Murphy is already on injured reserve. Austin Seferian Jenkins might play. And by the way, if Austin Seferian Jenkins does play, I like him a lot this week. But they have nobody else on that roster. They have what? They have Dontaya Dye. Isn't that his name? The guy who scored last week.
Yeah.
And they have I don't know, Russell Shepard. Like, who's on that roster? There's going to be a lot of targets for Mike Evans this week, and he's wide receiver 11. He's $7,800. I'm not saying that Jameis Winston's going to play well, especially since I think he's going to have to throw a lot. I think they'll be losing. And when Jameis Winston throws a lot of passes, he throws interceptions. He has three games with more than 30 attempts, and he has 7 interceptions in those 3 games. So if he throws a lot of passes, he throws interceptions. But I think a lot of those passes are going to go Mike Evans' way. And that makes him, at that price, at that lower end of the wide receiver one, that makes him, I think, a really good play on FanDuel this week.
Yeah, I agree. He's $6,800 on DraftKings. I will say this, Austin Seferian Jenkins has been he's priced so low because he's been out for so long on DraftKings.
$2,800 on DraftKings. If he plays, he's a must play almost on DraftKings.
Absolutely. And I say this, in GPPs, you have to have Jenkins in your lineup. I'm going to put this on wax. There are very few. We talked about, maybe Ben Watson, okay, in GPPs, but if you're not going to play Ben Watson, play ASJ in your lineup because he's going to get so many targets. There's nobody else. Jackson, we just talked about. Murphy's hurt. There's nobody for him to throw to. And Winston's going to have to – if Mike Evans is like doubled, he's bracketed, he's going to feed Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's practiced today – practice tomorrow, and he's ready to go on Friday through walkthrough, then he's going to be fed in this offense. So at that price, he's going to return your investment.
Yeah.
He's going to have so many targets that it's impossible not to return that investment. Unless he's Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to do that. I hope no one ever does that. But so he's $5,200 on FanDuel, so he's a lot – He's more pricey.
Yeah.
But I still like him at that price.
Yep,
I'd like him to be $4,600 on FanDuel, but I think he's going to be a really good option. And actually what you said about needing someone to pass to, I think that actually sets up really well for Charles Sims.
Yeah, I agree.
Who is $3,600 on DraftKings. I wouldn't use him on FanDuel, but he's $3,600 on DraftKings. The Falcons have given up 64 receptions to running backs this year, which is the most by far. It's 16 more than the next
worst
team.
Which is why I'm pivoting away from our guy.
Dougie Fresh
on DraftKings.
I'm pivoting away from him everywhere
Because of that. Because I think that Sims has enough of a role in the passing game that if this was all Doug Martin, I just really wish that this was an opportunity for him to sort of usurp some of those catches. If he had 5-6 catches a game, I'd be all in on Doug Martin. His pricing is ridiculous.
Is so good. Like,
yes.
Like,
he's
you
been
watch that
really
game,
good this
he's
year. He's
so
been so good.
Good
in this offense.
And he's a free agent this year.
I just hate 3 catches a game. It just sucks.
It's so nice.
It's like, give me 5 catches. I feel so much better about his floor, and with Sims in there cutting into that 2 to 3 catches a game, it just really shits on his floor. And that's my only, I throw my hands up in terms of wanting to have Doug in cash. I think I'm okay with him in GBPs, but in cash, I'm just like, no, there's just no way. That floor is just too, unsustainable because there's somebody else coming in there and passing downs. That's too much of a part of the offense that's going to cut into his production. So.
And I do think, like you said, in GPPs, because the Falcons give up touchdowns to running backs. They've given up 10 rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown, 11 total touchdowns to running backs so far this year, which is the most in the league. So there is some GPP value, I think, to Dougie Fresh, who, as we all know, I love. But I do think on DraftKings, I am very interested in Charles Sims, who, by the way, I said today he runs – Charles Sims runs like a caffeine addicted squirrel. he always when he's running down the field, just watch him. He's always has no idea where he's going next. He's always just kind of like sees like shiny object, sees the hole and goes, okay, I'm going to go that way. And then his feet are always moving like 1,000 miles a minute. It's the funniest thing to watch. And he doesn't look like a running back because he's like 7 foot tall. Yeah. It is hilarious to watch.
Charles
Sims
like,
run.
Who's the help me out here? Who's the running back that played for the Texans a couple of years ago?
Chris Brown?
Chris Brownish, a little bit.
like a less powerful Chris Brown?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, like Chris Brown.
Like a
on
Chris
like,
Brown that doesn't punch Rihanna
on the double.
Chris Brown
on the double like caffeine like macchiato kind of.
It's just
know,
funny. Everybody, next time you watch Charles Sims, watch his feet. His feet are hilarious.
No, he's got happy feet, for sure.
It's hilarious. Anyway, last game, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. I think this is going to be a fun game. It's a pick 'em, which is really interesting, because Cincinnati opened up as 3-point road favorites. 67% of the money is on Cincinnati, and it's down to a pick 'em.
Yep.
That's what we call a reverse line move. That's something that, if you want a good great example of what that means, go look at the USC line from last week. The USC against Utah line. All of the public money was on Utah's 3-point dogs. They were undefeated. All the money was on them, and the line kept moving USC's way. And the reason it kept moving USC's way is because all of the quote-unquote smart money kept coming in on USC. And that's a situation that you really need to pay attention to, which means that people like Pittsburgh. Now, Ben Roethlisberger probably had something to do with this, but we might be less sure that he's playing now than we were at the beginning of the week. On Monday, I had no doubt that he was playing. Today, I have a little more doubt that he's playing. And so we might even be less sure, and the line's still moving that way. So it's something to definitely pay attention to.
I would be stunned if he didn't play.
I would be shocked too, but what I'm saying is, if you're trying to figure out why this line is moving, even though 67% of the money, 2/3 of the money, is on Cincinnati, then that would be a reason. But then you think about it and you say, are you more or less sure that he's playing right now than you were on Monday?
Me? Yeah. I'm more sure that he's playing.
More no. sure, even though he came out and was wishy-washy yesterday, even though Mike Tomlin said on Sunday, hey, you're gonna play.
I think that's a collective decision to like.
I agree with that.
Make them think that Landry Jones is gonna play.
No, I agree with that too. I'm just saying, if you were gonna gauge public and say, are you more sure or less sure now?
I will say this. I would be shocked, because it's almost like throwing down. It's essentially waving the white flag. Saying, we know that how well Cincinnati is doing right now, and that we really need this head-to-head in our division win. And, we've given Ben enough time to get healthy. This is an opportunity now. We thought he was healthy enough last week. And this week, it's such an important game. For us to sort of be wishy-washy is sort of like, becomes more, for me, a more of a chess match type of a move to say.
But that's not my point.
Go ahead.
My point is not that I don't think he's going to play or that they're not doing that. My point is that they are doing that, which means that if it doesn't even really matter. The whole point is that 67% of the money's on Cincinnati and the line's going the other way.
Yeah,
or
67%
of the tickets, not
the money. It should get
and
closer.
I do like Pittsburgh in this game. I bet them on the money line when it was 1.5. So, but I'm just saying that's something to really keep in mind. But as you said, Big Ben's back Are you playing him in any of your lineups this week?
I am not on Ben.
Yeah,
I will say this.
He's 8,200 on FanDuel and 6,700 on DraftKings. Just for
yeah, in GPPs and DraftKings maybe. Definitely not in cash, but I am all in on Antonio Brown.
Absolutely agree.
100%. All in on Antonio Brown. He has been bitching about his role, his targets, everything. When his binky comes back, when his man, if you will, if I get a little salty, when his man comes back, Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to be fed targets. He's going to be fed targets in this offense. I know the money might be on, in terms of DFS, people still might be on Martavis Bryant, people that really aren't focused on DFS like you and I are focused, they might still be on Bryant. They were last week. Look at the numbers last week. Ownership numbers. Was Bryant number one or two last week?
I don't remember.
On DraftKings.
He was crazy high on.
DraftKings, I think he was one or two last week, which is nuts. When you consider Landry freaking Jones was his quarterback. He was number two. People connected to the fact that this bozo with a t-shirt cannon is going to throw downfield and connect with this guy who is a one-trick pony. And I love Martavis Bryant, but he really is – he does one thing well, okay? And to think that he's just going to get over on his price point, they're banking on Landry Jones throwing 5, 6, 7 times downfield to make sure that he gets that, okay? That's crazy. And I think that when you look at this week with Ben back, the offense opens up. It opens up for Le'Veon Bell. It's obviously going to open up for Antonio Brown, who's going to be fed targets. And yeah, and it helps, obviously helps Martavis Bryant. So Bryant still has value. But I think the value then shifts. And I said this, I mentioned this last week. And I mentioned this on Twitter, that the contrarian play is Antonio Brown. And that might not be the case because I think people now are a little bit more savvy. But I think that the contrarian play is really, as a whole, on Antonio Brown. I think people still will chase the Martavis Bryant production from last week or the previous week and say, well, that's the guy. And they'll still put money on him. And you'll sort of back off from Roethlisberger this week. And Brown has the potential to be the number one this week, or possibly in the top three this week.
And see, I think I agree with you completely. And what I would say is, I would say if you look at the two's prices, mm-hmm. you would say that Antonio Brown, at least on FanDuel, is probably $600 cheaper than what he should be with the healthy Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. And Martavis Bryant is probably as high as he should ever be priced at $7,200. Yep. And so if we're just looking at that, and we have to pick one of the two, I guess you could have both in your lineup if you really want to go out there. I wouldn't do that because I'm not that high on this matchup. But what I would say is, I would say that if you're looking at just pure value on these two, that Antonio Brown is probably $600 cheaper than he should be, and that's a lot of value that you're yep. getting from him. And so I agree yep. with you completely.
Yep. I mean, in terms of where now DraftKings is a little different. I'm looking at where he's priced with the other wide receivers. We just talked about, Julio Jones. Okay. Now Julio Jones, I think we had just discussed, is 9,200. Now Antonio Brown is 7,800. Compared to Julio Jones.
Good. So he's a good $1,200 cheaper than he should be.
Yeah.
$50,000 cap.
Yeah.
That's huge. That is huge.
Essentially $1,400 cheaper. And I think that, when you look at that opportunity there with targets, I don't know what's going on with Julio. I think Brown, obviously, we know is healthy and he's been, clamoring for targets. With Roethlisberger back, he's going to be fed targets. So his value, he's going to recoup that value this week handily, I believe. And I think Bryant, who on DraftKings is at 5,300, is still a value. There are other guys who are, in my opinion anyway, that same price point or close to it, that are going to receive more targets in their present offense, given this week and this matchup. that are better values than Bryant. And I think people will chase the Bryant production and be disappointed this week. So for me, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Brown. I think things open up for Bell. I think Heath Miller is blocking a lot this week.
Heath Miller doesn't have more than 3 targets in a game since week one.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I just,
he's a blocker.
If anybody thinks it's cute or sneaky, yeah, he's blocking this week because they need the help anyway in the offensive line. So that's where I see that. So I'm off of Ben because I just don't know that he's going to have a big game, you know, his first week back. But I think this is going to be a competitive game. I think it's going to be a fun game. And fuck. I've been swearing a lot in this podcast, so I might as well swear again. Fuck the NFL for not making this a fucking Monday night game. But they probably thought it was Landry Jones or Michael Vick anyway, so that's, you know, probably why this is the case. But man,
no, I guess this game probably what happened in this game, it probably got protected. I guess it could have been flex, but I mean, Sunday Night Football is not going to flex it to Sunday night because it's Green Bay Denver on Sunday night.
So. Yeah, I know, but Matt,
but no, this is a game. Yeah, this
but imagine, listen to this, Ray, for a second. Okay? Imagine if this was the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Okay?
Instead of Indianapolis and Carolina.
No, but exactly.
So it's gonna be an exciting game, that one.
Right. Cincinnati Pittsburgh, which is like a great divisional game. Okay? We've got players at a certain price point. Okay. We've got at least a couple of players. We've got, well, first of all, we got Andy Dalton at $6,000. Dirt cheap. Geo at $4,800. We got Hill.
I have no idea what DraftKings is doing with their Giovanni Bernard pricing.
I know.
That but pricing is just nonsense.
Just hear me out, okay? Jeremy Hill, $5,300. Okay? AJ Green, who I would fade at $7,600. But Tyler Eifert at $5,300. So you got Eifert, Hill at $5,300. Geo at $4,800. Dalton at $6,000. All of those players in this great, like, 6,000 or less component where you could do so much on Monday night with your DraftKings lineup. I mean, like, with late swaps. I mean, it's, like, orgasmic to think about how much you could do with these players. And it just sucks that they're, like, stuck in this sort of, you know, purgatory, basically, of scheduling. But
looking at the pricing, what I would say is it's absolutely nonsense on DraftKings that Giovanni Bernard is $500 cheaper than Jeremy Hill.
I know it's crazy.
I don't understand that at
and
all.
And he's in play for me this week. He's in play for me.
I will
he's
be certainly using him play for everywhere yeah. on DraftKings. He's actually. How about this? One last thing on Gio. He represents 9.6% of your DraftKings salary, which is a PPR site, and he represents 11.2% of the FanDuel salary, which is a half-point PPR site. It makes no sense that he's that cheap on DraftKings, and I will be using him everywhere, I think, on DraftKings.
Yeah. For me, it was, you know, I was going back and forth. And again, you can make so many different variations in terms of your roster construction, but it's been basically between Geo, Gurley, Forsett, Gurley for me.
Yeah.
And I had the same issue last week, you know, Ray. I had the same issue last week with Freeman, you know, Gurley, Freeman, Lamar Miller, and I never had the issue with Gurley, Lamar Miller. Which is why I totally fucked myself because I could have gone Gurley, Lamar Miller and totally destroyed. But that's an interesting a part of like game theory and roster construction where sometimes you outthink yourself. So, but I have those guys all on my in terms of who I'm putting in at running back, my 1 and 2. You know, those three are really at the top of my list, to be honest.
Yeah, and I would say on the passing side, you know. On FanDuel, Dalton's finally getting respect. He's quarterback 6. He's 8,100. So I might not be on him as much because he's that. I just like to go cheaper at quarterback, just style. And then, but I will be all over Tyler Eifert. Steelers are third worst against tight ends. They've given up 6 scores. Although a lot of those came in 2 games against New England and San Diego. But still, they've been bad against other tight ends. They're pretty bad against Kelsey last week. And then I will be on Marvin Jones at FanDuel. Because he's $2,800 cheaper than AJ Green. I like AJ Green too, but he's $28 cheaper than AJ Green. He has just 7 fewer targets over the last 4 games. So I will be on Marvin Jones. If I'm going anywhere at the wide receivers in this game, I'll be on him. We talked about Gio. And then last thing, Le'Veon Bell, cash game Jesus. 4.5 receptions a game for Bell in his career when Big Ben plays. All about the Ben. All right, so let's move on. Favorite segment, stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks. I talked about one of mine already, Eli and Odell. I'm going back to the well last week.
Me too.
My stack I loved last week, Todd Gurley and the Rams defense. I love this week, Todd Gurley and the Rams defense. Rams defense is probably the best play of the week. San Francisco is just abysmal. They're going to St. Louis. Colin Kaepernick doesn't throw to the left side of the field. By the way, I said that like 2 weeks ago. Watch his games. Just watch how many times he throws left down the field. You know, he'll throw like screen points that way. Left 10 yards or more down the field. Just watch it. I don't know why a defense would guard that part of the field against Colin Kaepernick. But they've given up on the running side, they give up a ton of points to running backs. 4 games over 18 points against, 2 with more than 27. My cash game will be Gurley, Forsett, Rams defense. Set in stone already. So I love that stat.
Yeah, man, listen, I've been saying that. I said that early in the week. I put that out there. And listen, on DraftKings, I mean, they're basically 800 more than they were last week.
Yeah, why not?
This is Ray. I outthought myself last week. Remember, we talked about this on the podcast last week. I tried to be contrarian. I split my, you know, I hedged my rosters. I had some Washington. We liked Washington last week, which
it didn't go well.
It did not go well. But we also like St. Louis, and I went 50-50, and that was my biggest mistake. Had I gone all St. Louis, who, by the way, was $100 cheaper than Washington for some fucking reason.
No idea why.
And they were, and they completely destroyed. They were 25 points on DraftKings. And had I gone straight St. Louis on all my lineups with excess, I mean, you know, who cares? I would have. All the way across the board, I would have won out the entire week. So I split last week. I went 50-50 last week. But I would have won my whole entire slate. I would have cashed had I gone with St. Louis. So that tells you how much sometimes you outthink yourself to get too cute with your defense. When the opportunity is there, the matchup is perfect. Who cares about the damn pricing? Again, even with DraftKings going up 800 points, at home against Kaepernick, he's going to turn the ball over. They're going to sack him. They're not going to score a lot of points. It's just going to be a bloodbath. It's a perfect matchup, and Gurley's going to be fed the football. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Talked about this earlier already on the last matchup, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. I mean, if you want to stack that up in GPPs, I don't blame you at all. I think that this is going to be a great back-and-forth AFC North matchup. Also, like, I know you're not big on Dalton, but on DraftKings, his pricing is right there. Dalton and Eifert, just the matchup.
Yeah, on DraftKings, where he's cheaper, then absolutely.
Yeah. Dalton and Eifert, just a great, great, cheap matchup. I think you can do a lot with, you know, it just hasn't adjusted because, again, you know, Dalton has been so efficient and he hasn't been priced accordingly. On DraftKings with a matchup with Eifert, I think that you can certainly have a Dalton Eifert stack in GPPs or even cash for that matter. And you could still fit in a lot of different players and be very, very comfortable that you're going to be able to meet that cash line each week. So,
on the contrarian side, I've already talked about two of my guys with Melvin Gordon and Charles Sims. Sims I like a lot, but on DraftKings mostly. My kind of contrarian stack will be Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler.
Oh, I love Alshon, man.
I think that the Vikings secondary is kind of fraudulent. They've played a super easy schedule. I think they're good.
Yep.
But I think that Jay Cutler is quietly playing one of the best seasons of a quarterback this season. I think one of his best seasons for sure. And ever since he's come back from the hamstring injury, he has been really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And so coming out of a bye, we have Alshon healthy. Alpha bye week, he's even going to be healthier. They're going to be low owned. Cutler's quarterback 18 at FanDuel, 7,300. Alshon's wide receiver 13. He's 7,700. So it leaves a ton of room there for you to maybe go with some higher price guys at your running backs and other wide receiver positions. I love Alshon and Jay Cutler this week, and I think that it's going to be pretty low owned. So I'm all in on that one.
Yeah. Listen, on DraftKings, he's like Alshon's 20. 2,800 cheaper than Julio right now.
Yeah, I mean,
which is insane.
Alshon Jeffrey's a wide receiver one when he's playing.
He's a wide receiver one. He's going to be fed.
Yeah, when he's
so
playing.
I love him. And by the way, too, just to kind of put a finer point on that, Xavier Rhodes, who's the number one basically corner for Minnesota, is probably going to be on Wilson where he lines up. So Jeffrey's going to have the lesser coverage. So Jeffrey's going to eat. You know, he's that sideline guy. He's more of a possession guy anyway. He's going to be fed targets. So I'm absolutely with you at that price point. He's in pretty much all my cash games. So, Ray, I love Cam at home. I love Cam on DraftKings. 6,800. I ain't scared. Keep giving me Cam at home, dude. He's going to keep doing it at that price point, 6,800. He's so much cheaper than a lot of the top options. Just keep lining him up. I mean, I think people will still be on him a little bit, but I think he's still priced in that point where, you know, people still, you know, the public still moves to the top, you know, priced quarterbacks, and they're still on him. And I think that Cam is sort of still in the middle of the pack. And I think I love him at home. I think he's going to keep getting it done. So, you know, why move off him? I think he's going to have a nice week. So,
well, that does it for us. This has been the Rummy Ray Pod. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Tuned In. I assume you found us on one of those if you're listening. Wherever you found us, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, give us a rate and review. That really helps people find us. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at RM Summerlin. You can follow Johnny on Twitter. He's at Rumford Johnny. And until next time, if you hear someone dropping knowledge, what should you do, Macho Man?
Oh, yeah. Pick it up, brother. Pick it up because the Macho Man says so. Yeah.
Cream of the crop.